Garagamadava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Valava Girivaradari Gopi Jana Valava Girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Brajjana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajjana Ranjana Jamuna Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Valava Girivaradari Gopi Jana Valava Girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Brajjana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajjana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puriva Jakacharya Astura Sata Sri Srimadhi Divine Grace Abhay Chana Vrinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichanan Sri Raita Gadadhar Shula Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Sri Gangamai Ki Jaya Sri Janamai Ki Jaya Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jaya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Ki Jaya The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jaya The Lordship Sri Sri Gaulitai Ki Jaya The Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrsingadev Ki Jaya Nitai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Guranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa, texts 6 through 9. So I'll do text 6 through 8, and together we can do text 9. 6. Nanu vaham tehi avaraja dinahata sutta prabho datun aharsasi mandaya ange mam charamam prajam. Translation. My lord, my brother, I am very poor, being bereft of all my children, but still I am your younger sister. And therefore, it would be worthy of you to give me this last child as a gift. 7. Sri Sukha Vacha Upaguv Yatmajam Evam Rudacha Dina Dinavat Chaitastam Vinirbhartsya Hastad Achichaidi Kala. Translation. Sukadev Goswami continued, piteously embracing her daughter and crying, Devaki begged Kamsa for the child, but he was so cruel that he chastised her and forcibly snatched the child from her hands. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Devaki was crying like a very poor woman, actually she was not poor, and therefore the word used here is Dinavat. She had already given birth to Krishna. Therefore, who could have been richer than she? Even the demigods had come to offer prayers to Devaki, but she plays the part of a poor, piteously afflicted woman because she wanted to save the daughter of Yashoda. Text 8. Tam grihitva charanayor Jata matram swasusutam apoptacha chila prishte swatanmulita soridaha. Translation. Having uprooted all relationships with his sister because of intense selfishness, Kamsa, who was sitting on his knees, grasped the newborn child by the legs and tried to dash her against the surface of a stone. And text 9. Sata dashtat samut patya Sajo devyam baram gata Adrisya tanuja Vishnu Sayodashta Mahabhuja Sata Dashta Samutpatya Sajo Devyam Baram Gata Adrisya Tanuja Vishnu Sayodhasta Mahabhuja Sata dashta samutpatya Sajo devyam varam gata Adrisya tanuja Vishnu Sayud hasta mahabhuja.
Sayodhya Mahamdha, Krishna Tanja
mothers.
Sadhya Devyam Varam Gata
that female child,
that has
start from the hand of Kamsa, Samutpatya,
slipped upward,
Sajaha,
immediately,
Devi,
the form of a
demigoddess,
Ambaram,
into the sky,
Gata,
went.
Adrasyata
was seen.
Anuja,
the younger sister.
Vishnu,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Sa-adyudya,
with weapons.
Asta,
eight.
Mahabhuja,
with mighty arms.
Translation and purport.
The child, Yogamaya Devi, the younger sister of Lord Vishnu, slipped upward from Kamsa's hands and appeared in the sky as Devi, the goddess Durga, with eight arms, completely equipped with weapons. Purport. Kamsa tried to dash the child downward against a piece of stone, but since she was Yogamaya, the younger sister of Lord Vishnu, she slipped upward and assumed the form of the goddess Durga. The word Anuja, meaning the younger sister, is significant. When Vishnu or Krishna took birth from Devaki, he must have simultaneously taken birth from Yashoda also. Otherwise, how could Yogamaya have been Anuja, the Lord's younger sister? Om Gyanatumar Nasya Gyananjanashana Kari Chakshu Nirtam Yanatasma Shikara Kari Maha Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Pustambu Tavishmati Shri Vibhava Prabhuti Namo Nishi Shri Nidavi Vira Parapattam Kajadani Prabhupada Nukara Namah Shri Vibhava. Hare Krishna. So, as this pastimes unfold here with Kamsa, Devaki, and Krishna's younger sister, as described here, who happened to be Durga Devi, there seems to be some descriptions, as Srila Prabhupada indicated in the purport, that we don't necessarily find in the Bhagavatam here, at least in this description. So Srila Prabhupada is hinting here that because Durga Devi has been addressed as Tanuja, which means Krishna's younger sister, it's probably indicated that Krishna had simultaneously taken birth from Yashoda as well as Devaki. So this is one of the mysteries of the transcendental understanding of the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. If one understands the mystery and the divinity of Krishna's birth and activities, then his life can be sublime. So, whilst it's not described here, it's described that Krishna took birth from the womb of Devaki. Srila Prabhupada hinted here that there is probably a simultaneous birth, which indicates that it's definitely so. So what we know is that these pastimes are being carried on eternally in different times, and they are ongoing. So as described by some of the previous acharyas, sometimes they describe pastimes that occur not only in like in this present kalpa, but they may describe it as performed in previous times or in different circumstances. So generally with these pastimes, the principles are the same, but the details vary a little bit. Like for example, the pastimes of Lord Jagannath. I know several versions of the pastime as told in the Skanda Puran and also as told by many different acharyas. So the details vary a little bit of the Lord's appearance and activities. So similarly here, it's indicated that some details do vary. So maybe in some other kalpa, when Krishna appeared, maybe that's described. But it's not described here in the purport. Probably at the end of the class, if some devotees have any references, we can take those. So eternally, we know that Durga Devi is Krishna's sister, so that's there. But as far as this pastime, then it's described differently. And also from the Vedic context, things are described a little different than it is today. Like, for example, in Vedic times or in Vedic culture and now to some extent in Indian culture or in some traces where Indian culture is still there around the world, in Guyana, for example, people have relationships that they term that can allow one to think that there is blood relationship. For example, when I was growing up, I heard my mom would address everyone in the village and everyone as Didi, or if they're younger than her, as my sister, or everyone she would call them the man, Baya, or brother. So as I was growing up, I started to ask her how big is your family? How many mother brothers and sisters do you have? I was just about 5-6 years old. I was trying to figure out what's, that's as I grew up, I learned that that's how people live. They just live like that. They address each other as brother and sister. The whole village, everyone that they know, they would address them unless they have some kind of a blood relationship. But whether they're Muslims or Christians, but that's just the way people live. So in that context, everyone is addressed in terms of a relationship. So to some extent in the Vedic context too, you have this principle is there. It's not a spiritual principle, it's more like a cultural principle of these different relationships. So on one hand, that's also hinted here that relationship can be there. And then there's also in the previous purport here in of text 8, we describe, Srila Prabhupada describes Mother Devaki, how she presents herself to Kamsa. So, according to Manu Samhita, it's described that women weren't taking leadership roles. And in this case, Devaki being a Kshatriya, born of a Kshatriya parentage, that they didn't take leadership roles, even though they were very qualified and they were very equipped with all the moral principles and the principles of diplomacy and management and psychology and all the different ologies that would consist of being in the category or of being able to function in a managerial capacity. Or as in this case, being in the kingdom. So here Devaki, Mother Devaki is relating some of, or revealing some of these strategies that she presents herself as a piteous and poor woman to try to win the favor of her opponent, in this case, Kamsa. So she presented herself in that way as a tactic to buy Kamsa over, to get him to change his mind, to change his course of activities, as what he wants to kill this child. And which obviously didn't work, but it's a principle that's described in some of the previous verses that we use in even our everyday activities. We use different psychological means to combat our opposition. And if all else fails, then we're down to reducing our options. So here, Devaki presented herself, with all Prabhupada described that in the purport, that she's obviously, being the mother of Krishna, she's definitely not poor. She's the richest woman. But in terms of making her point, making her statement, presenting her case here, she presents herself in that way. And also, she's doing it for the protection of this child, this female child, which doesn't belong to her. So here is another moral or cultural principle that's here, that you find it a lot in the Vedic era. I'll back up a little bit. On the contrary, in the previous chapter, when Krishna took his birth, his appearance, it described by the previous acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada quoted it in the purport, that Vasudeva exchanged his child for the child of Yashoda, or Nanda Maharaj, because on one hand, charity begins at home, so protection of his child comes first. So he put his child to safety at the risk of endangering another child. So from a moral point of view, we see that as self-protection, self-preservation, just from a moral or a cultural standpoint, is that our own comes first. Like in Guyana, there is a saying that scratch for their own chicks. So they stand up to represent their own as first priority. So that's one principle that's stated there, that Vasudev seeks protection of his own child first. So on one hand, that's a reason why he took Krishna away and brought the child of Yashoda, so his child can be safe. On the contrary here, Mother Devaki is doing her utmost best to protect the child of another, because it's a cultural principle. And this is manifested in the pastime of the Mahabharata with Maharaj Yudhisthira. When he was questioned by this Yaksha, who manifested to be his father, Yamaraj or Dharmaraj, he was questioned. That's after his four brothers were killed because they didn't heed the instruction of this Yaksha, this voice. So they were killed. They all lost their lives. And Maharaj Yudhisthira decided to answer his questions. So after successfully answering those questions, and by the way, it should be noted that they were on the onset of this war, of which he needed the help of all his powerful brothers, the invincible Arjuna, the undefeated Bhim, and his intelligent younger brothers, Nakul and Sahadev. So after successfully answering all these questions, this voice, Yaksha, manifested himself as Maharaj Yudhisthira's father, Yamaraj. So he said, "I'll give you one of your brothers back, or bring them back to life. So you choose which one you want. So without any hesitation, Maharaj Yudhishthira chose Sahadev, which is the younger of the lot, which is, he was the weakest in battle and the least support that Maharaj Yudhishthira can receive. So Yamaraj asked him, why have you chosen him as against your other powerful brothers? The war is coming up. You need Arjuna, you need Bhim more than anyone else. So his argument was that because Sahadev was born from not his own biological mother, but from his stepmother, that he's the child of another, so he was born Nakul and Sahadev, the twins of Madri. So because of that he wants to show impartiality, that one child from each mother would still be alive. So despite their circumstance, despite their imminent danger, this moral principle stands supreme in his eyes. So this is one moral principle that is there, that what Mother Devaki is manifesting, that this, because this child doesn't belong to her, then she felt more a need to offer as much protection as possible, because it's a cultural principle. So these are all hints of Vedic culture that actually make us form a solid ground and a very strong basis for our spiritual lives. Sometimes here in the West or in Kali Yuga is not always manifested. Like, for example, it is, I've seen it a lot, that if a child doesn't show that much respect to a man who happened to be his or her stepfather, and maybe not in a very grave or, you know, deep way, but for example, they would address them by their full names instead of address as dad or Peter or whatever, because that is not their biological father, or some cases not their biological mother. But in Vedic context, if one acts as a father figure or a mother figure, despite the fact that they might not be the biological cause of that child, then they're earned and they're given the very same respect as their own parent. So that's another cultural principle that is laid down. And Srila Prabhupada describes these in other places, these principles, as what actually makes us culturally sound and gives us a base for a Krishna conscious development. Like, for example, Srila Prabhupada talks about following the four principles actually brings one to human platform. So in different varied circumstances, adopted these principles in life brings us to a better cultural base, which gives us a stronger foundation for Krishna consciousness, for religious activities, and for social interaction. So these principles are very much appreciated and are very much practiced, not only in Vedic cultures, but you find in all other cultures of the world, which obviously sprung from Vedic culture originally, but for example, like in different religious backgrounds, you find that these principles of protection, not only because it was a child, another reason that it was a female child. So female in Vedic context means more protection. It ought to be given more protection. Because by constitution, and I repeat, you know, by constitution, female are inferior to male. By qualification, it's a different story. Not always true. So because it's a female child, then she deserves more protection. Because she's the child of another, Durga Devi, then she deserves more protection. It's a matter of showing this high level of courtesy, that because she belongs to another, then we ought to give more protection. We ought to take a greater effort into securing their safety. So these are some principles that are laid down here, and we find them like in some of the previous verses. Mother Devaki also tried to use this tactic to tell Kamsa that this would be your daughter-in-law. So that's another principle of culture or moral culture that you find in the Vedic times, that close relatives do get married, and especially the daughter-in-law is being given even more protection than the daughter. I know in Guyana, I grew up in the farthest part of the country area. So just behind us, we had all the woods, the forest, and we have the forest dwellers who are there. They are called Amerindians, which stem from the word American Indians, as we have here in America. We have the American Indians, the ones that dwell in the forest primarily, and you know, not so much in the city life. So like that, you have them there. And one of their principle is that their daughter is given some level of protection, but as she grows up, she just goes out on her own. But their daughter-in-law is giving 100% protection, because in that culture, and many of Vedic culture, that the son and the daughter-in-law lives with the parents. They don't live separately. So if one interferes with their daughter, it's not such a big deal. But if you even look strongly at their daughter-in-law, you can be killed. And the way they function in the woods, they would, if you offend them, and especially their daughter-in-law, if you even look lustily at them, they would kill you, or they can potentially do that, and they just move to another part of the forest and you can't find them. Yes, they just move like that. They live in the woods. So this protection of the child of another, is same principle is there, as indicated here in this verse. So we can find that from many cultures, these basic principles are pretty much there, and as time goes by, it's gradually getting lost, unfortunately, the manifestation of Kali Yuga. But nevertheless, these moral principles and cultural principles are there to set the basis of the human existence. And whether we appreciate it or not, if we analyze it, it's what helps us to develop our Krishna consciousness. If we see these principles with all, you know, they might not appear to be very important, and we may think that they're not very important for Krishna consciousness. Whilst they may not be the ladder that we climb, but they are foundations that give us a cultural background of where we can sprout. We can sprout from there. So, anyway, these are some of the points I thought I'll extract from these verses. And if anyone has any comments or questions, Sri Vikram Prabhu.
Nice class, but I'm going to challenge you. Okay. So you were saying that sometimes you try to protect, well, in this case,
Durga Devi?
Yoga Maya was given some sort of protection. But earlier it stated that Vasudev took his son to Nanda Maharaj's place,
right,
and collected his daughter, Nanda's daughter, and yeah, bring her. So, in order to protect his son,
right,
you see, earlier in the Prabhupada, Prabhupada explained that, and so on. So now this seems a contradiction.
Yeah. You know? Okay. So you want me to comment on that?
Yeah, you
okay.
know, because he's protecting his son David,
right,
but he's taking Mahara's daughter to be killed.
Yeah, so many places also in Srila Prabhupada's writings, he has made general statements. Like, for example, Srila Prabhupada, you know, one of the last instructions he gave to everyone is just be responsible. That's a general statement. Everyone, that's for the present and the future. You know, as long as we take shelter of ISKCON, that principle is there. Just be responsible. But he also made like circumstantial statements. For example, in Vrindavan, Prabhupada addressed his two young sannyasis. He turned to one of them. He said, "Now that you have taken sannyas, it means, you know, no more staying one place. You travel and preach." Then immediately turned to the other sannyasi and he said, "Now that you have taken sannyas, you stay here and manage." So it appears to be contradictory, but they are all circumstantial statements. So similarly, in that case, there were circumstantial principles there. It might not be, is not a general principle that one endanger the life of another for his own child's protection. It's not a general principle. It's circumstantial. Under circumstances, that was the best course of action, because we understand that that Krishna has made this arrangement with Yogamaya, or instructed Yogamaya, as a matter of fact, to function in this capacity. So in that circumstance, it was circumstantial. It wasn't a general principle that we sacrifice the life of another just to protect our own. Under circumstance, yes, you do it, but generally, no. And in this case, under the circumstances, and this can be more of a general principle that because they're not our own child, that we make an extra effort to offer them more protection. So I think you get that point.
Quick comment before I'm thinking. Yeah. Also, you know, it says self-preservation is the first law of nature, and sometimes
yeah,
that rule stands that you try to protect yourself or, you know, immediate surrounding, and then help others. See. But also Krishna had instructed him to do that too. When he had appeared as Vishnu, you know, he had instructed him to do that too. So also I think he was following that.
I mentioned that. Yeah, so. Yes, Prabhu?
Yesterday in the purport something was there, and today you repeated that a little bit. I don't know exactly the wording, but something about women not generally take positions of leadership or authority or something.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada indicated in the, that is stated in the Manu Samhita.
Yeah, but
that according
see,
to the,
we see that in now in our society, ISKCON society, that sometimes we see that being done.
Yeah.
Can you comment on that, please?
Yeah, and I in particular didn't raise that in the class because I know it was coming up in the comments. yes, it's this is the principle as laid down by, you know, in the Brahma Samhita, in the Manu Samhita, sorry. But it's not, yet again, it's not a general principle. It was a principle that was followed at that time in Kali Yuga, and as time progresses, and especially in Krishna consciousness, all these principles are being transcended by devotees. So generally, like now, we find many powerful leaders that are females. Look at our Alachua community. Since I have been here, all the successful management has been in the era of female leaders, as in the past, as in present. There was a short time, then there were some other leadership, and there was some chaos. So it's, you know, there is, it doesn't generally, it's not a general principle that or a rule set in stone. And especially in Kali Yuga, as things become topsy-turvy, as life progresses, we find that that different people take on different roles, and as per qualification, not as per constitution. In a Vedic time, as per constitution, women didn't take a leadership role. As per qualification, many of them were qualified, very, very qualified. Kunti Devi, for example, she didn't rule the kingdom, but she guided her children in such a way that they were the most powerful leaders. In many, many times, there are many countries that are being led by females, and they are running very, very strongly, very powerfully. Many places in our society where the leaders are Matajis, and they're very strong, very powerful. It's like Srila Prabhupada made one comment one time. He said that, and I hope this is not offensive in any way, but Srila Prabhupada said that women generally have half a brain. So then there were some startling eyes from the lady's side, and said, but when you come to Krishna consciousness, you get the other half. So like that, everyone became equally qualified. You know, even in his, there was this controversy some time ago with Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He wrote this article, I believe it was a book, on the qualification of women within our society. And there was some opposition. And he single-handedly stood to it, and until it was proven that he was correct, that not because they're in female bodies and their manifestation of their qualification may appears to be manifest differently, but the strong qualification is there, and even in many of times stronger than male qualification. So I think, does that answer your question? Okay. Does anyone, that was in the beginning of the class, I asked if anyone knows of the circumstance of where Krishna took simultaneous birth from Vasudev and
Nanda Maharaj? It's mentioned in the Hari Vamsa Purana.
Okay.
I think Srila Prabhupada quotes, he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who quotes Hari Vamsa Purana. I think it was, we've already covered that, didn't we? Yeah, and here also, and then there's another reference in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the word is Nandatmaja, referring to Krishna, is that the Nandatmaja, the son of Nanda Maharaj.
Yeah. Sanskrit. Actually, there was one comment in one pastime with Vrinda Devi. There's one pastime where Krishna told some of the gopis that, don't you know that I got married to Vrinda Devi last night? That's when he was trying to get their steal their butter and their yogurt. He was trying to have them pay taxes. So then they said, well, are you sure? So then they went to Vrinda Devi. I said, wait, you're our friends, and you didn't tell us that you got married to Krishna? So then she said, no, that's not true. And then they started thinking, well, you know, Krishna is such that who he takes birth from, you know, what's his activities, who he gets married to, it's really difficult to understand. It's just, you know, it's really hard to understand. So whether he really get married, or if he actually took birth from this parent or that parent, his activities are such that it's difficult to understand. So even the gopis are concluding like that. So it's mysterious. And that statement is there in Bhagavad Gita, you know, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. So are there any other questions? Oh, Shesha Prabhu.
Dharmesh Prabhu, are we actually followers of the Vedic culture Are we actually followers, or are we followers of the Goswamis? Is there a difference? There may be a difference. Bhakti Vilas is written. There was a difference. Hari Bhakti Vilas was written.
My understanding is that there is a huge difference, is that we are following the Vedic culture in a context of Krishna consciousness, which is a vast difference, because in what a Vedic culture may be identified as is probably not always so as Vedic culture. Sometimes it's quite mixed up between Vedic culture and Indian culture, Vedic culture and Eastern culture. But the Goswamis have set a standard for us of following Vedic culture in the context of Krishna consciousness, of that, in other words, we are following the essence of Vedic cultures and not all the general, these general principles, or not all the detail which would bring about not bhakti yoga, but would bring about all these different yoga systems and bring about all the karmakanda sections of Vedic culture. So whilst we're not, Srila Prabhupada didn't instruct us or to get in detail or to follow or to be students, not to follow, but like to be students of all these karmakanda sections and all these different sections of Vedic culture, he expect at least that we be gentlemen and ladies, and so following some very moral, very simple moral principles, and practice our Krishna consciousness from there. Does that answer the question, Prabhu?
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Hari Bhav. Sri Krishna Prabhu, maybe last question.
Sorry to come back early. Yeah. It seems we're always following Vedic culture, but this culture has changed with time. You know, from all the different ages, by the acharyas, you know. And they, you know, like Lord Chaitanya, when he came really, he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. And he also set rules and regulations for us to follow. But it's all within Vedic context also.
Yeah, sure. Oh, this...
Thank you for a very nice class. I think it's a really important point that you made about circumstantial instruction, and I think it's something that we don't often hear, you know, in our ISKCON society, or at least I feel like I don't often hear. And I think that's also the importance of having a spiritual master who can determine, like, what is the appropriate platform to practice Krishna consciousness for the individual. I just think it's a really nice thing to emphasize, like, for the individual, instead of, because sometimes you read these things in our books and they're very general, and, you know, people tend to just apply these generalities, and it's sort of, I don't know, I think it causes, like, tension and,
Yeah, definitely. And I would tie that to Shishu Prabhu's question of coming back to the, you know, the standard that one is following, you know, in terms of Krishna consciousness. And that's why it's important that Srila Prabhupada instructed all of us to study his books daily and to understand these principles, and also to take the guidance of the Guru. Tad vidhi prani patene paripashnena shivaya. The Guru, he has seen the truth, and thus he can explain, and under every circumstance he can guide and instruct us as what's good for us. So sometimes things may look awkward, and as one becomes qualified, he learns how to apply Krishna consciousness in every circumstances, and thus we are able to understand more deeper the deeper meanings of Srila Prabhupada's purports, and how we can apply every principle and instruction he gave in every circumstance. Like on a base platform, the example I gave with Srila Prabhupada giving two different instructions to these two different sannyasis, opposite instructions. One may say, from if an outsider just come and read that he would say, okay, Srila Prabhupada doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just contradictory. We understand differently. So, yes, it's important to understand these statements, which is circumstantial, which is general statements, and how to apply it. It forms a stronger basis of our Krishna consciousness within our community. If you're living in a jungle, it's one thing. If you're living in a community, it's a different thing. If you're living in a Lachua community, where you have 700 families, it's a very big difference. Thank you so much. Okay, last question, Pundarik Vijayanidhi Prabhu. Okay.
I was just going to comment that about the Shesha's question, that it's described Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipano Saddharma Samstapako, that the Goswamis, they took their conclusion, Saddharma, the established eternal religious principles on the basis of all the scriptures. Rupa Goswami also quoted this verse, Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Dipidim Vina Aikantiki Harir Bhaktir Upataya Vikalpate, that anything that's any culture that's not based on scriptures is just a disturbance to society. So we are based on, this is Vedic culture, but there's different branches of the Vedas. Mm. That's Vyasadeva. He divided the Veda, one Veda into four, and then from there so many different branches came. So it's not that all branches are the same, but this is certainly Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Palam. This is the branch of the Vedas. This is the ripened fruit of the Vedic knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not that, I don't think we can say that we're not, I think we have to establish that this is real Vedic culture, actually. And I mean, the essence of the Vedas.
It's in different words, it's a similar thing that, you know, it's actually cream of Vedic culture. And when we use the term Vedic culture in context of Krishna consciousness, it's strictly from the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, as he instructed the Goswamis to extract, you know, the cream of Vedic culture, which is what Sukadeva Goswami did. He pecked on the fruit of Vedic culture and give us the essence, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Goswamis also were instructed to bring out the essence of Vedic culture, to bring out most transcendental, but in this context, the most transcendental aspect of Vedic culture, which is the highest level of Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, so basically, you know, my understanding is that Srila Prabhupada is telling us that Krishna consciousness is the greatest cream of, you know, of transcendental Vedic culture. And he instructs us to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness. At the same time, like when he made all these comments here, it's for us to get an idea of, to form our background, get our background, so we can form a solid base and sprout from there. So I'd like to stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.